This is Scott Berguin at KSOW Radio in Cottage Grove. I have on the phone Michelle and Steve DeFord in Salem, Oregon. Good evening.
Good evening.
I think it's evening, yes. Okay, well, you know, I hate to start it out this way, but it's obviously a... every day is a solemn day in some respect in relation to the Iraq War, and today is the day of ignominy, if that's the right word. I think I missed a syllable there or something, but it's another disastrous landmark in Iraq. The 2,000th U.S. soldier was reported killed today, and I know you all have already been getting quite a bit of media attention, and I'd just like to hear your thoughts, I guess, on this day.
Well, 2000, that's, David was number 1,063, and just over a year ago, mm-hmm. September 25th of 2004, and it's hard to believe that this has gone on as long as it has, and we've killed, the president has fed another 1,000 to death,
mm-hmm.
It's hard to deal with that.
Well, these, I imagine every report of a soldier killed in action, soldier killed in Iraq, is a stabbing pain to you all. I mean, it's, as you said.
Absolutely. It really is. I, there are so many moments that stick out in your mind about that first horrible week, after you've been notified, and you can't help but think of what these new parents are going through, or wives or husbands,
mm-hmm.
and the steps, and it just breaks your heart, because you wouldn't wish this on your worst enemy.
Right, and it's one of the questions I had. It's a trivial question, I guess, in some ways, but I know David, your son David W. Johnson, was killed on September 25th of 2004.
Yes.
How many days after that? What is the how soon do parents and loved ones get notified usually, do you know?
I believe we were notified the day of, because you have to remember that when it's nighttime here, it's daytime there.
Right. Okay.
So David was killed about 6:20 in the morning of the 25th in Iraq, but it was only the 24th here.
Okay.
So we were notified at 11 o'clock on the day of the 25th.
Hmm. Okay.
And at that time, then, you're told you have 24 hours to notify friends and family before it's released into the media.
They give you 24 hours?
Yes.
Okay. So actually, most of the delay is probably that waiting period. But I also, my thoughts go to the people, anybody who has loved ones in Iraq, in Afghanistan, that when they hear, like now, the 2,000th soldier has been killed, it's like, it's always got to be on pins and needles, you know. Anytime they hear of another one going down, it's, is this one going to be my son, my daughter, my husband, my wife, whatever, you know.
Yep, it's one of the most, I think it has to rank up there with the most horrible thing that's ever happened to
mm-hmm.
us. I talk to other parents who've lost children in years past, and even some as far back as Vietnam, and they say that it hurts as much today as it did then.
Well, I think that's maybe one thing that most people can relate to, not the level and the pain of losing a loved one in this way, but all of us have memories that are stirred up from time to time, and it's palpable. It's like you're living it again.
That's absolutely true, and I know that it's kind of odd thing to remember, but I remember the sound of three soldiers came that day, and I remember we had a big old-fashioned wooden porch, and I remember the sound of their boots coming up the stairs.
Mm.
Because when that car pulled up in the driveway, you know that they're not there. You just know why they're there.
Right.
And it just seemed to take them forever to get up the stairs. And I was standing at the front door, and my legs were shaking so hard that I could hardly open the door. I didn't want to open the door. And then after they actually told me, I kept thinking to myself, you know, I just talked to David. I can't, this has got to be a mistake. It's got to be a case of mistaken identity.
Mm-hmm.
And when they left, I kept thinking, I don't want to make all these calls and tell people that David has been killed because it's a mistake, and why get everybody all upset for nothing? And I know that's a crazy thing to have going through your mind, but that's what went through my mind.
Well, I don't think that's crazy, no. I think it'd probably be crazy. It would be more like just going about business and acting like nothing's happening at all. It seems like it would be a very natural response. And of course, what we're talking about here is it's difficult beyond my imagination to be told that your son has been killed in a war, and then you add on to that what you knew at that time and what you've learned since, I think, about this particular war, that is obviously makes it that much worse. If it's possible to make it worse, it's...
Well, I guess that's why we keep on speaking out and keep on writing our congressmen and doing everything we can think of, is because then maybe it won't have been for nothing. If we can get this war stopped, if people will just start pounding Congress, if they'll just write letters, and I don't mean emails, I mean actual letters. We're being told that they pay more attention to the written word.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's drop back a little bit here and talk some about... After September 24th, you all were part of, at various times, part of the Bring Them Home Now tour, and you're both were in Washington, D.C. on September 24th for the massive rally and other activities that happened then. I'm wondering, you've obviously been back home around a month, and what do you have any thoughts reflecting back on that? Anything you'd like to share with folks?
Well, it was certainly an amazing experience. You know, and as you go about the daily business of life, you come across so many people who don't share your views, and it is a wonderful feeling to be around so many hundreds of thousands of people who feel the same way you do and know that we've been lied to and that we've got to do something collectively to put an end to this.
And it also is kind of interesting, I think, to think that we just... started as a few individuals. We met Cindy right after David was killed, and we were with a group of 8 people speaking out in Florida at that time, and then go to Texas where there was 10 to 12,000 while we were there, and then go to Washington, D.C. where there's, you know, 100 to 500,000, depending on who you listen to. It's obviously growing by leaps and bounds, and that makes you somehow feel like you've been given a voice, and whether you like it or not, you have to use it, and it works. I mean, it's like people are starting to pay attention, and that in itself just kind of like fuels the fire. You want to just keep going. You want to just keep pushing. As hard as it is, you want to just keep pushing to make David's death have some meaning in our lives.
Right, and yet there are people, you'll hear say it. I mean, people that are certainly our allies, those of us working to end this war and working for peace, that will say things like, well, obviously, I'm quoting, it's sort of a general quote of the kind of thing you hear. Well, obviously, you know, the marches don't do anything. You know, it hasn't helped. The war is still going on. I'm sure that's something you've heard from people.
Yes.
What are your thoughts on when people come up with that sort of a comment?
Well, I think we're gathering a bigger head of steam, so to speak, than they did during. I hate to keep drawing parallels to Vietnam, but it's sure starting to look that way.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not taking us as long to get going as it did back in the 60s. I don't think.
Well, I would agree. We're both, all three of us were there. We're here now. We were there then. And it seems that, like you said, we're building up a bigger head of steam here. And I think we have what we're running into is a general sort of American cultural impatience that, like, you know, hey, I wrote a letter, I went out and I marched, it should be, you know, why didn't they just stop it?
Yeah.
And unfortunately, it turns out it's not that easy.
Yeah, it is a little more work than everyone everybody thinks it's going to be. We're going to have to force the senators and representatives to stand up. That's the only way we're going to get anything done. And until enough people contact them and tell them that, it's just, you know, they're not going to take any chances in not being reelected.
Right. So did both or either of you suffer, I'm thinking maybe a little bit of like culture shock from returning from this intensive amount of energy? I know you came home a couple of times, but starting with Camp Casey and then the bus tour and then the, you know, Washington, D.C. and all that stuff, and then coming back back home to Salem, Oregon, was there any culture shock involved? I don't think culture is probably the right word, but it's just kind of
anticlimactic.
Yes.
But I will say this, once you get a little bit of rest under your belt, you just get fired up, and that gives you time to think about more things that you could be doing.
Mm-hmm.
Plus, you see a lot of news that when you're in Texas or in Washington, D.C., we didn't have time to actually pay attention to the news. So now you see the news, and it does fuel the fire a little more.
Right.
And the news is getting better every day.
Yeah.
I don't mean in the rocks.
Right. It does seem like it. We're at a moment, another moment, where it seems like, some people described it, the wheels seem to be coming off the Bush administration.
Yeah, not fast enough.
Although, you know, those of us, you know, we've been through this, sort of, and we wonder what they're going to come up with to try to deflect the attention. They're trying all the time, but continues to be a very interesting and challenging and motivating time.
It is. You know, I never once contemplated anything like this in my future when I was younger. I just never even thought that anything like this would ever happen to us.
Yeah, well, that cuts both ways, doesn't it?
Yeah.
So you were telling me you've been interviewed by some TV stations and all that, and you all are heading on up to Portland tomorrow. Why don't you tell us about what's going on there?
Well, there's going to be at Terry Shrunk Plaza at 5:00, there'll be a reading of all the names of the soldiers that have fallen, and they will also be reading the names of many, many, many Iraqi civilians that have also lost their lives, and then it will proceed down to the waterfront for a candlelight vigil.
Hmm. Okay, well, boy, that's... and this is one of the events that's planned across the country to occur, vigils on the day after the 2,000 soldiers.
Yes, and this particular one is being put on by AFSC? AFSC.
Okay, American Friends Service Committee.
Yes.
Okay. All right. I know there's a vigil tomorrow in Eugene from 5:30 to 7:30, an extended one. I'm going to actually be on the road to Northern California, and I'm hoping I can connect up with one in Arcata. And I know they're happening all over the place. So it's one of those things, you know, that it's like, again, a disastrous policy that's taken so many lives, and you know that we don't even know how many Iraqis have been killed.
I know.
How many quote unquote Gold Star families have been created in Iraq? It's unimaginable almost. But this, again, it does offer another opportunity as the momentum hopefully continues to build towards ending this thing sooner than later.
Yes.
We can only hope for.
Mm-hmm. What are your plans, or what other kinds of things are you involved in after tomorrow?
Well, we have a lot of meetings planned. You know, there's so much groundwork that has to be done. We've got meetings all this weekend with the Northwest Chapter of Military Family Speak Out.
Mm-hmm.
A little bit of reorganization going on there, and we are actually... have gotten a grant so we can hire somebody to get us better organized, to do press releases and to have a go-to person so that the media can get a hold of one person so that, you know, they can get a hold of one of the family members to speak.
Uh-huh. And this is Military Family Speak Out?
Military Family Speak Out, Gold Star Family Speak Out, and Veterans for Peace.
All right, great. Okay. I know I talked to you, I think, by email a few weeks ago, and you were looking. Did you find that a vigil or two in Salem, an ongoing group in town there?
There is one, and I was going to be the second participant. It's a small one.
Uh-huh.
But now I think I'm going to end up in Portland because there's going to be more media up there, and I think it'll probably be more effective up there. But we're hoping for a lot of people here in Salem. You know, Salem is the capital of this state.
Sure.
A huge visual here.
Well, I'm sure there'll be people there as well as down in Corvallis, which has a vigil every day.
Yeah.
I got that one.
Nice. I know. That's
astounding, the commitments
amazing.
That people have made. Okay, well, any other thoughts you'd like to share with folks about the situation we find ourselves in and as we go forward here, and as we've been saying over and over again, trying to bring an end to this insanity?
I think the biggest thing is you have to write your congressmen, you have to write your senators, and you have to actually, you can use a computer to print it out and all that, but they want to see it in this little envelope, and they give us special attention when they get a letter like that.
Mm-hmm.
So just write them and tell them we need to end the war, we need to get out of Iraq, we need to bring our troops home.
All right, Michelle, any final thoughts?
That's probably the thing that I am talking about the most now, is just encouraging people. You know, it seems like we don't do much with the written word anymore. Everything is done on computers and email. But I think in this case, I just can't stress that enough. We have heard that from almost every single senator and representative that have taken the time to sit down and talk with us at length.
Mm-hmm.
They're all saying the same thing. Until the people of Oregon stand up and tell us what what they want,
mm-hmm.
you know, they're not going to jeopardize their jobs, I guess, is what it boils down to. They, of course, don't put it quite like that, but
right.
Yeah, we have to remind them that they work for us and not the president.
And they know. They have to know deep in their hearts this is wrong.
Yes, well.
And that it's only going to grow by leaps and bounds.
Well, this may turn out historically to be the week that the weak become stronger and start bailing out on the president and the Bush administration.
I hope, Scott. From your mouth to God's ear.
Well, don't I wish. And okay, well, you know, I wish you the best, of course, and hopefully we'll talk and visit with each other down the line, and all the best for both of you in Portland tomorrow and beyond.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you, and just thank you for being there.
Okay, and I have only one other thing to say. I told you I wasn't going to tell everybody that I was interviewing the sauna, but I had to throw that in. You were all very disciplined. Thank you. I'm just trying to humanize all this a little bit. If it's not human enough for people. Thank you, Michelle and Steve.
Okay.
Have a good evening. Bye.
Bye.